Now, Ed Royce is now chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the Orange County, L.A. County congressman, longtime Congress member, and, of course, been on our show many times, usually dealing with the subject of illegal immigration. But today, a lot of attention was focused on Washington, D.C., as Hillary Clinton did testify about Benghazi, especially what happened on September 11th of last year.
Chris Stevens, the U.S. ambassador to Libya, was killed along with three others. And immediately after the attack, well, there clearly was very little security. That was issue number one. Issue number two was, well, what incited this attack? And at first, the administration was claiming it was the anti-Muslim video that Nakula Nakula had sent around the world on the internet. That was caused a protest that led to the violence. That turned out to be false. It was Al-Qaeda rearing its ugly head because, it was 9-11. So Al-Qaeda decided to commemorate 9-11 with another attack on a U.S. facility. So Ed Royce, his first committee hearing as chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
And welcome back to the John and Ken Show. I know you've been on the committee a long time, but I'm sure congratulations on being named chairman.
Well, thank you.
And you got the marquee star, Hillary Clinton, to testify.
We did. You know, it is amazing when you think about the fact that it was on 9-11, as you just mentioned. Somebody at the State Department forgot to circle their calendar on 9-11 because the first explanation out of the box was, well, this wasn't Al-Qaeda. You know, this had to do with the video. Now we find out it's the Al-Qaeda franchise, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, which is the fastest-growing Al-Qaeda franchise, that not only conducted this attack, but also just conducted an attack in Algeria that cost three American lives.
Why do you think that they sent out Susan Rice, like the weekend after the attacks, to play up this idea that it was due to the video?
Oh, I think the Secretary of State knew better. And so basically, they were peddling the line within the administration because it was in a campaign. They were in full campaign mode. They didn't want to acknowledge that Al-Qaeda, you know, they were saying Al-Qaeda has been defeated. They didn't want to acknowledge that they had an ambassador, first ambassador in 35 years, that had been killed by Al-Qaeda, especially given the fact that all of those warnings had come out of the embassy about the fact that they needed assistance, and they had ignored the fact that the Department of Defense had been supplying defense for Libya and the State Department. You know, there's that problem between the culture and Department of State and Department of Defense.
It's just hard to believe that a short time after Gaddafi was deposed and murdered, when the country's still in chaos and it's really up for grabs, it's 9-11, you know Al-Qaeda has reformed in that region of the world, how you could not have intensive security, and then you're getting requests for the security, it's mind-boggling that they didn't send a whole force, force to surround the place.
And refresh our memory, this facility at Benghazi where the ambassador was killed, was it a top outpost in Libya for the U.S. or not really?
This was the consulate. But here was the point. We knew from our position there that Al-Qaeda was in Benghazi. And this particular facility had already been bombed twice. In Benghazi, the British ambassador had already had an attempt on his life, the Red Cross likewise. And so you can imagine the desperation on the part of the local personnel in our embassy. Now, this was the point I was going to make. Department of Defense had supplied protection in Libya, but the Secretary of State's office turned that down in August, turned down that continued support. So it's not just that they didn't ask for additional support. They were actually turning down support from the DOD, saying, well, it would be embarrassing for the Department of State to accept support, more support from the Department of Defense.
Did you question Hillary Clinton about this today?
Yes, I've raised all of these points. And we raised many more points because we had 3 hours to do it. And we will have additional questions because you're able to submit questions afterwards. So we're gonna continue to follow up.
Well, did you get anything? Because what we heard and saw the clips of what she said to the Senate committee, and she was getting repeatedly pressed, and she started dancing around and filibustering.
And eventually said, what difference does it make? Yeah, they're dead.
She threw up her hands and said, hey, what does it matter now?
Yeah, what does it matter now, except for the fact that if we don't get that culture changed over there at the State Department, we already just had an attack again, in Algeria, if they don't find a way to upend that culture, we're going to have attacks on U.S. diplomats everywhere, because whether they want to acknowledge it or not, Al-Qaeda now has our ambassadors in their sights, and it's very likely they'll try to strike again.
Now, describe that culture that you just mentioned, the culture there over at the State Department. What is it that you said needs to be changed?
Well, first of all, you've got a culture of bureaucracy that is not prepared to address the magnitude of the threat throughout North Africa and the Middle East. Second, when you do identify those personnel within the State Department who are most at fault, they're still on the payroll today. We were led to believe initially, right, that they were going to be fired because they were identified in this review that was done. And we hear a lot about accountability, but they're still on the taxpayer's dime. They're still over at the State Department. So when I say it's going to be difficult to change that culture, I'm not kidding.
Are we falling into the sleepiness that we had in the late 1990s, where Al-Qaeda attacked a U.S. naval ship, where they attacked an embassy in Tanzania and another country, and those were the warning signs that something big was going to happen, but nobody paid attention to it?
I think you put that well, because 3 months prior to this attack, there was an email within the State Department indicating that that is exactly what was likely to happen here, an attack, that this was the soft underbelly. This faced attack if action wasn't taken. Now, they couldn't respond in 3 months' time. So, you know, simply accepting 29 recommendations is not going to fix this broken bureaucracy. They keep saying, well, we've done this review, but the review never interviewed the Secretary of State,
right? But why don't they want to? I mean, why don't they want to protect a consulate in a country that is chaotic?
Well,
when we know Al-Qaeda is there, I would think they get up in the morning and that's their business. It's like, where are we vulnerable? Let's make sure we got a security force to protect our people, our Americans here, because, you know, every day they're at risk. I don't understand that.
Well, I think it's very, very clear that the people on the ground wanted to. We're desperate.
Right. But what's
the question is, why wasn't Washington focused on this? And I think the review board gives us the response. They say there was a pervasive realization among those in Benghazi that security simply was not a high priority for Washington, D.C. That's the problem, is the State Department in Washington was not listening, was not attentive, did not respond to these repeated requests. And, of course, the Secretary of State says, well, they never reached my desk. Well, the point is, you know, we've got four individuals here whose desk it was on, who decided not to respond to those requests. They're still on the payroll when they were supposed to be fired. So when we talk about putting heat on the State Department to change that culture, this is what we're talking about.
So you feel today, even, where Americans are at risk abroad. I mean, you saw what happened in Algeria this past week.
Yes, and this report says that systemic failures and leadership and management deficiencies at senior levels within two bureaus of the State Department, you know, created this. It led to the systemic failure and to the grossly inadequate security. Exactly. It led to a situation where we were at risk for this kind of an attack. And so getting this turned around is what this is our intent, but to do that, you've got to turn the culture of the State Department on its head.
Do you think John Kerry coming in will make any difference with Hillary going out?
I wish I could tell you I thought that was good news. I don't think that's good news, but I think perhaps with Bob Menendez coming in as chairman on the Senate side, and I know Bob's attitudes are very, very aggressive on this subject of holding the State Department and the administration to account on some of these issues. Bob Menendez and I worked together on some of these sanctions issues against Iran, and I watched him run his amendments right up over the head of the administration and force some of that into law. He was very, very combative. That's the kind of attitude, whether Democrat or Republican, that we need to see. We need to see people that want to get results done. So if he comes in on the Senate side as chairman of the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee, and I'm chairman now of the House. My hope is that working together, we can run initiatives right over the head of the new Secretary of State Kerry, who I suspect will get that nomination, and force some of this into law.
All right, Ed, thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the
All right, Congressman Ed Royce, Republican from Fullerton and now chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and they had a chance to question Hillary Clinton today.